Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome everyone, and did you get a chance this week to read the new report from the UNIPCC? And for those of you that don't know that acronym, that is the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Boy, do they lie. And a couple of years ago, they even admitted that they, in order to get their message through, they have to lie. So what did they say? Well, I'm so sad to tell the people in Miami that their time in Miami is limited because climate change is going to happen and Miami is going to be underwater. So I guess Nancy Pelosi and Mark Zuckerberg read the same article because apparently they're going to move upstate and buy a house in Palm Beach County on the water. So I guess if the water raises in Miami, it's not going to affect Palm Beach County. That's the way I would look at it. Folks, this has been going on, this hoax has been going on for years and years and years. And of course, at the end of the article, what did it say? More money will be needed to correct this horrific tragedy that fossil fuels is pushing upon the earth. Now, of course, in the article, they mix up pollution. And they put that as part of emissions from fossil fuel factories, which, by the way, don't have any pollution anymore, not coming from America. But if we have countries all over the world that say, oh, we'll burn coal and we don't care what it's going to be, then why are we Americans paying the price? Now think about that. Money, power, control. Part of the main problem is that the oil companies in America are mostly private. Now, many of them are listed as public companies on the stock exchange, but they are not government owned. And that's the problem. So in order for this sector to be under the strict government control that the communists must have, they will then make regulations deeming that fossil fuel is the major cause of climate change, which it isn't. Fossil fuel is the major cause of making sure that America remains top dog in our production and in our energy. Energy is power, and that's what they don't want unless they own it. You are listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. And with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, please get on board with the Alliance. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. We've done an amazing thing with our pornography report and bringing forward the tragedy of what is in our public education system. I have asked a friend, a dear friend, Alex Newman, to join me today. Now, most of us know Alex from his wonderful work in education and his phenomenal book, The Crimes of the Educators. But I don't know how many of you know and realize that Alex was a journalist, traveled all over the world, and has attended many of these meetings where these incredible, egregious, ridiculous reports come from, when all they really are is, we demand a redistribution of your wealth into our pocket. Alex, thank you for joining me today. And folks, you must go to Alex's new website called libertysentinel.org. He has incredible articles from experts, real experts, from all over the world. What do you think, Alex? Should we all abandon Miami-Dade and move immediately?
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I also can hold off on selling your waterfront real estate in Miami. You know, it's so preposterous, Karen. And this one is especially close to me because, look, I'm from Miami. My family's from Miami. I was born in Miami. I'd lived in Miami till I was four. And my family still lives in Miami today. You know, obviously, I have an interest in what happens in Miami. I go there all the time. That's basically my hometown. Now, it just so happens that the UN IPCC, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, had a very interesting Swede who was serving as editor of the sea level section. His name was Nils Axel Mörner. Now, he passed away recently, but I had the great privilege. I was living in Sweden at the time, so I had the great privilege of getting to know Nils Axel Mörner, a wonderful guy. He was a doctor. He was the head of the Department of Geophysics at Stockholm University, widely regarded around the world as one of the world's top sea level experts, if not the top sea level expert. That's why he was serving as the editor of the sea level section for the UN IPCC. Now, what he found in 50 years of researching sea levels was quite interesting. He said, first of all, and people can go watch this interview I did with him. We were standing on the edge of the Baltic Sea next to a mark that the King of Sweden put there in the early 1700s to mark the sea level. And of course, that mark is now much higher from the actual water level than it was when it was put there. And so one of the things that Nils Axel Mörner said was, look, anybody who's talking about global sea levels doesn't understand anything about sea levels. There are no global sea levels. Sometimes in some parts of the world, the sea level gets a little higher, sometimes, and simultaneously, it gets a little lower in other parts of the world. So first of all, anybody who's talking about global sea levels like the UN doesn't know what they're talking about. Second of all, he said, the sea level around the world is not generally rising. In fact, the sea level in many places, he said, is falling. And the propaganda that we always get about the sea levels outside of America is about these islands in the Pacific, the Maldives. And actually, I ran into the president of the Maldives, Mohamed Nasheed, at one of these UN summits. It was in Copenhagen. And I asked him, I said, hey, I talked to the lead sea level reviewer for the IPCC. And he said, you're lying. He said, your country's not going to be underwater. In fact, the sea level is going down. And he started fuming and hurling nasty insults out against Axel Mörner. Anyways, long story short, Nils Axel Mörner measured sea levels in those Pacific islands for 50 years, said sea levels there are going down. You know, what we know, he ended up resigning from the UN IPCC. He said, this is a fraud and they're publishing information that's not true. And I told them that they couldn't publish these lies and they published them anyway. So he ended up resigning. But that gives you a sense. And people can go watch that interview. It's half an hour. It's still on YouTube, amazingly, on the New American Magazine's channel. That's all you really need to know about sea level is that the UN's own expert on sea level said these people are lying. The sea level is not rising. CO2 is not killing the planet. This needs to stop. And so, of course, he's no longer there.
Well, that's not a surprise. But why, Alex? Why would they be doing this? Why are they trying to scare the people into abandoning their property in Miami? Miami-Dade or any place else, and yet they turn around. These globalists will turn around and buy the most expensive beachfront property you can imagine. So why do you think they're doing this, Alex? Why are they so overtly lying?
Well, there's a number of reasons, and you're exactly right about that, Karen. I mean, everybody knows Obama just bought beautiful beachfront property in Martha's Vineyard. Now, if he truly believed that sea levels were going to rise, that would be a really dumb place to buy yourself a $12 million mansion. But it's just incredible. And we see the same thing in Miami as well, Karen. A lot of these big tech billionaires from California, they're coming and scooping up, $20, $30 million houses by the sea in Miami, Florida. And, you know, in public, they claim to be so concerned about sea level rise and climate change. And yet here they are scooping up these mega mansions in Miami. In fact, Miami has the hottest real estate market in the country right now. And a lot of these people are wealthy New Yorkers, wealthy people from New Jersey, financial people and big tech people from California that are coming and setting up shop in Florida because we have lower taxes. So we're being defrauded. Now, the answer to the why question, I think there's multiple agendas being served here. At the simplest level, there's just a lot of people who realize this is a good money-making scam. When you can tell people that the gas they exhale is a toxic pollution and that they should pay you money for the privilege of exhaling that toxic pollution, I mean, that's the greatest kind of scam in the world. You don't have to do anything except just convince people of some absurdity and they'll give you money. Al Gore, of course, has been the beneficiary of this, the first climate billionaire in the world, right? What a fraud. And of course, he also owns oceanfront real estate on a broader level beyond just making money. They are working to fundamentally reshape the planet and the governance of the planet. And what they've realized is that if they can convince us that the gas we exhale, CO2, is a pollution, they can control every aspect of our lives. There's literally nothing you can do that doesn't emit CO2, including breathing, including eating, including sleeping, including dying, including turning on your light switch. There's nothing you can do that doesn't produce CO2. So if the UN can hoodwink the world's governments, and really they're not even really deceived. In many cases, they're just blatantly being bought out, like the government of the Maldives, we found out, got billions of dollars from the EU and the US government to play along with this fraud. But what they're realizing is, hey, if we can control all energy production, all energy, all farming, all human activity, we can become masters of the planet. And I think that's what they're doing, to put it very bluntly. They're trying to impose a global tyrannical system where they control everything and everyone, and demonizing CO2 was the perfect way to accomplish
it. As you were saying that, I am reminded that one of the things that I have been noticing is on when you're filling out a form, for example, you want to buy something, you want to get something, and then all of a sudden you're going to get a little commercial or a little question, and you may not be thinking about it at all, but it will say something about fossil fuel, and you'll be getting phone calls from solar companies who want to put up solar panels, et cetera, et cetera. But now I am beginning to see these popping up on just, you know, going and regularly doing your business, and all of a sudden there is a program. Well, the last one that I got said, what do you think about taxing CO2? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so now are they going to have classes in school that say you can only breathe X number of, you can only take X number of breaths per minute, and then they're going to train the kids how to take less breaths? Is that what we're leading to? Because folks, CO2 is so necessary, and people have no idea its importance, its use. It is the bonding factor that enables us to live by allowing all of what is in our body to be able to be used. CO2 attaches to all other types of gases, elements in our body, which enables us to breathe in oxygen, convert the oxygen to CO2, and exhale CO2, which will now be taxed. How is that going to work? And also, another one that I just got as well was, I was changing my auto insurance, and they came back, the company, I believe it was Allstate, came back and said, we have a new policy. If you put this little device in your car, it will tell you the mileage. So if you go under X number of mileage, we can give you a discount. How many people are putting that device in their car? Because the next step from that is, in the infrastructure bill, they can tax our mileage. Well, how are they going to find our mileage? By things, programs like this. So each one of these programs has nothing to do with the climate. It really just has to do with taxation. What do you think, Alex?
You're absolutely right, Karen. And I think it's easy to demonstrate that and prove that with the amount of evidence that we have already. You know, as for CO2 having something to do with the climate, there are countless factors that affect the climate. But if there's one that really has no impact or virtually no impact, it's CO2, you know, to at least human emissions of CO2. I want to give people some perspective here. All human emissions of CO2 combined represent a fraction of 1% of all these so-called greenhouse gases that are present naturally in the atmosphere. The overwhelming majority of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere is just water vapor, right? 95%+ of it. When you add in all the natural sources of greenhouse gases, what you see is that human emissions are completely and totally insignificant. One volcanic eruption could dwarf all of the CO2 emissions that humans have put out combined throughout the entirety of human history. So the idea that human emissions of CO2 are driving climate change is simply preposterous. What it does do, though, is it, like you said, it enables the totalitarians to control every element of life, to tax every element of life. And that's what they're going for, right? They want to completely reshape the global economy so that it's not based on profits. It's not based on losses. It's not based on serving the consumer. It's based on serving the interests of the global elite. And so they want to give everybody a carbon budget. They want to institute deliberate scarcity so that people can be controlled. And you look at some of the things that are coming down the pike on this front. Yeah, we've got carbon taxes. You know, the World Economic Forum is pushing now for global carbon taxes. The UN is as well. We've got credit card companies now that are creating credit cards that will monitor the carbon footprint of your purchases. And once you reach a certain carbon footprint, then your credit card gets cut off and you can't buy anything anymore. It truly is ridiculous. And it is a control mechanism. When you study the science, when you look at this, what you see is human emissions of CO2 are totally insignificant from a climate perspective, but entirely fundamental to human freedom, to human material well-being, and to human prosperity. So this is an evil agenda. It must be opposed. It must be exposed. And there are scientists all over the world who know this and who speak out about these things. You just won't see them on the fake news because they completely demolish the narrative. But I've interviewed many dozens of these scientists, including many who have worked for the UN IPCC, who've worked with the UN IPCC, who will tell you this whole thing is a total fraud, but they're pushing it. I mean, just a couple of days ago, Joe Biden held a White House summit on how to counteract what they call delayism, right? They say that Republicans and energy companies and special interests are delaying action on climate change. And so they had this very bizarre summit. They said, we're fusing social science with physical science so that we can get over this reluctance that people have to basically live as slaves and give up their quality of life to save the planet. It was called the White House Climate Science Roundtable on Countering Delayism and Communicating the Urgency of Climate Action. So this is not about the climate. This is about making you a slave.
It certainly is. And, you know, when I hear something like that, my answer to that is after you spend your money, then I'll see. After you stop using fossil fuels, then I'll maybe make a decision. After you stop buying houses on the ocean, maybe I'll make a decision. And I think that's what we should be saying. Okay, you first. You want to spend billions of dollars? Take it out of your pocket. You're the billionaire. You already stole all of our money. It doesn't work that way, folks. They only are interested in spending our money, your money. They don't care. And that's the problem. And these people, believe me, are in both parties. And that's why this election that we have in 2022 is so critical. We have to get rid of the rhinos. The rhinos represent the globalists in the Republican Party, just like all of the Democrats are now part of the globalist ideology. We have a faction of the Republican Party that are in lockstep with this same group of criminals. And it all has to do with money. Are they making money? Are they getting rich? Boy, they sure are. And look at what's going on right now in the Ukraine. Do you think if America was an oil-rich country right now, this would be an issue, what was going on in Ukraine? No. Why is it so important? Because Ukraine is an oil-rich country that gives Russia a warm water port, which has been Russia's problem all along. It gets closer to being to be able to have things in warm weather. Notice Russia, way up in the north, very cold majority of the time, frozen majority of the time. So what does Russia need? Russia needs to have warm water access, warm weather access. So this is all about oil. It has absolutely nothing to do with America except because of what Joe Biden did. And now we are begging Russia. On one hand, we're slapping them down and saying, no, 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 you can't go into Ukraine. And then on the other hand, we're begging them to produce more oil. Alex, does that make sense?
It makes no sense at all until you see what they're doing. And, you know, I think what's happening here, we're seeing an orchestrated effort to accelerate the process of globalization or globalism, the shift to a one world system. We see an effort to kind of divide the world up into these regional governments, right? Either you have to join the EU or you have to join Putin's Eurasian Union, but you can't just be an independent nation. You have to join up with one of these globalist supranational regimes. We see this effort to, and you know, the globalists have understood that war is good for globalism for many generations. You know, World War One, we ended up with this abomination called the League of Nations. After World War II, we ended up with, you know, the United Nations and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and all the Bretton Woods institutions. You have also, you know, they've put this down on paper. One of the guys from the Council on Foreign Relations, Lincoln Bloomfield, wrote a report in 1968 called A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And he concluded that war or the threat of war was the fastest way to get from where we were in a world of relatively sovereign nation states to the world they wanted, which was a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. So now you've got all these European countries saying, okay, we're going to join the EU, we're going to join NATO. You've got all these countries in Putin's sphere of influence saying, okay, we'll be part of the Eurasian Union. And I think what we're also seeing here, Karen, is the orchestrated displacement of the United States as the most powerful nation in the world. The globalists for many, many years now have been talking about a shift over to a multipolar world order, that as the new world order was coming into view, that it would be a multipolar world order rather than what they call the unipolar world order, where the United States was kind of the unchallengeable dominant superpower in the world. Well, that's changing rapidly. And I think Joe Biden is really just like a perfect metaphor for America. Old, it's decrepit, it's incompetent. You know, we told Ukraine, hey, give Russia all your nukes, right? They had like 2,000 nuclear weapons. And Clinton went over there and said, hey, why don't you just give all your nuclear weapons to Russia, and then America will protect you, right? Just like we told all those Afghans we would protect them until we handed them all over to the Taliban and to China. So this is engineered. They're undermining the United States. They're undermining our freedom. And they may well kick off World War III here. So,
yeah, that's a very scary thing. And folks, when you hear things like that, my antenna goes up and that says to me, be prepared. Being prepared is the most important thing that you can do for you and your family if you want to survive what may happen. Now, it may not happen. Well, what's the big deal if you have extra food in the house? What's the big deal if you have extra batteries or extra things that will enable you to be self-sufficient? If you want to figure out what you need, then Friday night, turn off the electricity in your house and see what you need to exist through till Monday. And that will give you a clue of what you should be purchasing for you and your family to make sure that you will be safe in any up and coming disaster. Who knows what it may be? It could be a weather disaster. Nobody knows. It could be Russians. Who knows? Nobody knows. But the only thing that we do know is that if you want to be safe and secure, there's only one way to do that, and that's to be prepared. So take your clues from what's going on, look around, and understand, yes, I will be prepared. Now, you can't be prepared in everything, but you certainly can be prepared enough to be able to get through whatever is going to be facing us. And what's facing us now, I think, is going to come from a result of what's going on in our country right now with this convoy of truckers that are picking up steam. And while everybody was focused on CPAC, I was looking at the people who were supporting the truckers, because that says to me, there's more of us than them, and we have to get together as Americans. How can we fight for sovereignty of Ukraine and forget sovereignty of America? How does that work, Alex?
That's such a great question, Karen. And to see all these pathetic Democrats in Congress suddenly pretend to be so concerned about the integrity of borders and national sovereignty, it makes you want to puke. I mean, they're so disgusting. They've left our border wide open. They've been selling out our sovereignty for 100 years now. For anybody to believe that these people actually care about sovereignty or borders is totally preposterous. But there are a lot of things we can do. And I do think everybody should be in regular communication with their congressmen, their senators, their state reps, their state senators. But even more importantly, I mean, just be active in the process, be active in the elections. Find good candidates and support them. Become a candidate yourself if there are no good candidates. Make sure your children are getting a good, solid education. And I agree with you 100%, Karen. If you are not prepared for various different possible scenarios, you're really letting your family down, and you're putting yourself in at great risk. There's no reason why, if the power shuts down, you should have to beg the government for assistance. You should have to go to a stadium for assistance. You should be able to last on your own for a while. And that doesn't mean be paranoid and go, you know, spend all your money digging a bunker and filling it with, you know, survival food. But you would be foolish not to take some basic prudent precautions with all that's going on in the world right now.
Yes. And I would suggest that you take one closet in your house and clean it out and then fill it up with food and don't tell anybody. It's for you and your family, because there may come a time when you might have to lock the door and say, we can't go out for a week. That may happen. We don't know. So the idea of being prepared is to look at the worst case scenario and fulfill your needs for that scenario. And then you don't have to worry because you are prepared. One of the ways to get prepared is to get your kids out of public school. And Alex, you put up a wonderful website called Public School Exit. Could you explain that to everyone? And let's get some people to go there. Because one of the things that I cannot understand is, why are you screaming at the school to allow your child to go to school without a mask, when you can take your child out of school and he doesn't ever have to wear a mask?
That's a great question, Karen. And I think we all should be asking ourselves, what in the world were we thinking when we decided to allow the government to raise and educate and train and disciple our children? It was a terrible, terrible decision.
Very.
And, you know, education is critical. And that's one reason why it should never be in the hands of the government. But so Public School Exit, it's a new organization that we created a couple of years ago, trying to knock down all the barriers for families that want to get their children out of the public school. We're working with pastors, churches, rabbis, priests, everything, to try to convince them to explain to their congregations, to their flocks, the importance of getting children out. You know, if you're Jewish, if you're Christian, you need to understand that these schools are teaching so-called values that are directly opposed to what you believe on every single front. And the reality is, when you put your children there for 5 days a week, for 7 hours a day, for 12 years, you're practically guaranteeing that you're going to lose your children, that they're going to have values very different from the ones that you hold. And so we are doing everything we can. We've got a scholarship fund. We're doing talks all across the country. We're partnering with private schools across America. We've got all kinds of research, whatever people need to get their kids out. You can find it at publicschoolexit.com. And if you still need more help, we have consultations. We've got an incredible team of experts on our advisory board. We can help churches or synagogues or whatever do anything from set up a scholarship fund for homeschooling to setting up an entire Christian school from the ground up. So people who need help, you can find us at publicschoolexit.com. I'm the executive director, but we've got a wonderful board of directors and advisors that do a lot of the critical heavy lift.
Oh, that is wonderful. So Public School Exit, folks, share that information. You also put up a website called Liberty Sentinel, and that has incredible articles from experts all over the world. And I'm very proud to say that my articles appear there also. So please tell everybody about that as well.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. I started the Liberty Sentinel as a newspaper in North Central Florida back in 2007 with some of my college friends. And we published a print newspaper up until about 2009. We eventually ended up shutting that down, and I kind of just turned it into like a consulting company and my personal blog. But over the years, I've been growing it more. We've got now contributors, like you said, from all over the world that send us stuff to post. And it's just really, really critical information. We say it's the information that you need to stay free. And so, you know, we put up a lot of content there. People can access us and contact us through there. Yeah, you can, you know, if you're interested in getting any of my books or DVDs, you can get them through the shop there. And yeah, we feature wonderful, wonderful writers and authors like you, Karen, and many others.
Well, thank you, Alex, so much for everything that you're doing. And there is never enough time to talk to you. So I'm going to ask you to come back again.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Karen. I appreciate you having me on.
It has been a pleasure. You're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Please do not go away. Have a wonderful guest coming up next, but you've been listening to Alex Newman, and Alex has done an amazing job alerting people what's going on, not only in our education system, but how it ties into the world. So please make sure that you visit Alex's website.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. I said in the last session that I wanted to talk about what the Alliance was doing. And all of this reminds me of what Plato said. Plato said, if you don't get involved in government, you will be governed by your inferiors. And that is what we're seeing going on over and over again. We tell our representatives they're supposed to represent us, but they don't pay attention. And a perfect example of that is what's going on in Florida right now. The Florida Citizens Alliance, we put through a wonderful, amazing bill that would protect our children. That was the purpose of it, to protect our school children from sexually explicit material and age-inappropriate gender indoctrination. Now, wouldn't you think that everybody would be on board of that? Well, it went flipping through both committees in the House and the Senate, and we get to the end of the rope. And both the Senate President, Wilton Simpson, and the Speaker of the House, Chris Sprouls, refused to allow this bill to even be heard. This is a disgrace. So please go to the Florida Citizens Alliance website, and you can get there by going goflca.com and sign the petition. And do not, under any circumstances, allow Wilton Simpson to become Commissioner of Agriculture in the state of Florida. Now, those two people are totally opposite to what the people want. And that is our major problem. I wanted to share with you something else that I read recently. This one was killer. I am absolutely in shock after listening to this. Remember in the last conversation, I was talking about how important it was for us to be prepared. So I went to my go-to place of being prepared, of course, is FEMA. I want to see what FEMA is telling the people. And this I found on the ready.gov website. This is FEMA discussing what to do in case we have a nuclear explosion. This is their advisory to we the people. Okay, it says the FEMA website contains useful information and what America should do to shelter. And this is what they say. This is my favorite passage. Get inside the nearest building to avoid radiation, brick or concrete are best. Go to the basement or the middle of the building. Stay away from the outer walls and roof. Try to maintain a distance of at least 6 feet from yourself and the people who are not part of your household. And by all means, wear a mask. This is a disgrace. These people have no idea what they're talking about, and they are products of our failing school system and a lack of a science education. So I said to myself, self, what can we do to rid ourselves of these people? And I was listening to Steve Bannon, and I heard a man by the name of Dan Schultz come up with a proposal that I thought was incredible. And it's called the precinct strategy. So many people send me emails and say, Karen, what can I do? I'm only one person. I can't do anything. I'm one person. That's what America is about. One person being excellent, doing the best that they can do, and joining others who feel the same. So what is this precinct strategy? I said, I'm going to ask the expert. And so Dan Schultz, thank you so much for joining me. What is a precinct strategy?
Thanks for having me, Karen. The precinct strategy is also can be referred to as the precinct committeeman strategy. But basically what it boils down to is this. There is something that we can do, and they used to teach this in seventh grade civics when I learned it way back in 1968 and 1969 when I was a seventh grader in public school in Wisconsin. And what our teacher told us was not just how government worked and like line and block charts of government, he also included the Constitution and taught us about the Constitution and our state constitution and the fact that we have essentially evolved into a political system that is dominated by two major political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. And what he taught us was back then was how these political parties operated. And they operate starting at your voting precinct in most states. It varies greatly from state to state because the Constitution, as he taught us, reserved to the states kept power over the conduct of our elections. So every state has a unique system. And then if you're a recognized political party, and usually in every state, I think in every state, the Democrats and the Republicans have achieved what's called ballot status, whereby their candidates can have a D or an R placed after their name on the ballot. So that helps the candidates who are Democrat or Republican so that the voters can see, okay, if I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote for the Democrats. If I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote for the Republicans. So that's a really good thing to have happen to a political party. They regulate, the states regulate those parties. They're private organizations, but in some respects, in some states, they're regulated because the parties in some states, like here in Arizona, use the primary election system for electing these members of the party, and they're called in most states precinct committeemen. So here in Arizona, there's about 13,000 of these positions called precinct committeemen. And we have under our system one precinct committeeman slot for every 125 voters in a voting precinct. My precinct, we had 11. We currently have 11. We take the total number of Republicans, divide by 125, and if the remainder is greater than half of 125, you get another one. We currently have 11 slots. I filled all 11 slots with conservatives, including my two boys and our daughter. She's 23, they're 21. And they've served as precinct committeemen ever since they were 18. They have also served as state convention delegates, these young people. because I taught them this stuff. They didn't get taught any of this in their public school, their public high school. I know that for a fact. It was they went to private school up through eighth grade. I taught them everything about this, and I basically put it all in a book. I have this catchy title for my book, How to Get Into the Real Ball Game of Politics Where You Live to Help President Donald J. Trump Make America Great Again. And recently, Donald Trump has publicly endorsed my precinct strategy and my website, which is precinctstrategy.com, precinctstrategy.com. So anyways, the parties are set up and structured so that at the precinct level, that's where all the power is. And right now, by and large, all across, I mentioned the number of slots we have for Arizona, 13,000 or thereabouts slots. My precinct's full. Two of our counties, we have only 15 counties in Arizona, are at 100% strength. They've got all of their slots filled because they focused on it. And it's conservatives that have filled them up. Two are our rural counties, Cochise County and Graham County. But overall, after the 2020 primary election in August of 2020, we only had 36% of our slots filled. The mantra, most important election in our lifetime. Well, one thing that people who were conservative and thought it was the most important election in our lifetime didn't do is become precinct committeemen and help get out the vote if they were conservative for Donald Trump. Like I said, we only had 36% of our slots filled. Now we're up to 56% filled.
Dan,
but still 44% still vacant.
Can I ask you a question? How do they make the relationship between the Democrats and the Republican? Do they say the precinct has to have 11 and then they look to see who leans to
numbers.
What?
It's all done by math.
Okay, so it's all done by math.
So for example, in my voting precinct, we're split about one-third, one-third, one-third. About one-third of the voters are Republicans, about one-third are Democrats, and about one-third are no party affiliation. The no party affiliation people, they can't even participate in party politics because they don't have a party. They can't be precinct committeemen. You have to be a Republican if you want to be a Republican precinct committeeman. If you want to be a Democrat, a precinct committeeman, you have to be a Democrat. So, and like I said, I was about to say, my 11 slots has now dropped down to 10 because we have fewer Republicans than we did before, about 100 fewer, and that caused our numbers to change, unfortunately. So that's another reason why you want to get as many people registered for your party if your state allows for party-affiliated voter registration. Some states don't, but ours does. The reason you want to is the more Republicans you have or Democrats you have, the greater number of precinct committee slots you have. So the bottom line is this. When people say, what can I do? What can I do? This is the thing that you can do, and it doesn't cost you anything. In some states, like Virginia, they make you pay like $25. But that, you know, a year for, but otherwise it's all done by donations. If you want to donate money to your party, you can. But the reason you want to become a precinct committeeman is this: precinct committeemen are the party. If there aren't any precinct committeemen, there's no party. And precinct committeemen elect everybody into the chairman positions, like your county chairman is elected by precinct committee. The state chairman here in Arizona is elected by what are called state committeemen at a mass meeting of state committeemen. We get in each of our legislative district committees or county committees, we have an election of officers after the primary election. It's in November or December. And then we also at that meeting, anybody who wants to be a state committeeman can say, I want to be on the ballot for state committeeman after we elect our officers. And then we take a vote. Well, what we do in my legislative district is we get all the conservatives together. We've got them networked together and we put a slate together and we usually call ourselves the deplorables. And we just put, we are the deplorables. Please vote for us for state committeeman. And then we have our names there in alphabetical order. And this last go around in my legislative district 18, we had 53 slots to fill. We had about 65 deplorables who wanted to run. And we succeeded in getting about 45 of those slots filled by real hardcore conservatives, not somebody else. And so that it's all about numbers. So if you want to have a conservative America First Republican Party moving forward, it's the party is there for the taking, because nationwide, there's about 400,000 of these Republican positions, but only 200,000 or fewer are filled. I know in talking to people in Florida, Hillsborough County, Palm Beach County, Sarasota County right now doesn't have any precinct committee.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is.
And what's amazing about it is, where are the conservatives who are saying, what can I do? Well, I've been telling them what they can do. Site precinctstrategy.com. You can buy my book there. It's short and it's inexpensive. I made it as short as possible and as inexpensive as possible. Everything's laid out in the little book. Everything's laid out at the website. I have links to all 50 states. I have good links for Florida. For example, Pasco County has a very good website that explains soup to nuts how to become an appointed precinct committeeman. If there's a vacancy after the election of precinct committeeman, you can be appointed if the body will vote to appoint you, but they don't have to. That's why you want to run in the first instance. You have to get a few signatures. You get on the primary ballot in Florida, and then there's an election. Now, if the number of slots for the precinct is less than, or a number of candidates is equal to or less than the number of slots available, and you guys do it a little bit differently than Arizona, you probably will win by default, and they won't even print up a ballot to save money. That's what we do here in Arizona. 98% of the time in the past, there's been uncontested elections for precinct committeemen. And when that happens, because the number of candidates is equal to or less than the number of slots, by law, the county doesn't have to print up a ballot. That saves money. And so they don't. And because they don't, hardly anybody ever has voted for a precinct committeeman. So back in 2009, when I started recruiting after Obama got elected, I'd go to these Tea Party rallies, these 9-12 groups, and I'd hand out my little flyer, my recruitment flyer, and I'd say, hey, have you thought about becoming a precinct committeeman? If I had $5 for every person who said, what's a precinct committeeman? I'd be rich. 99% of the responses from people, they had no idea what a precinct committeeman was. So yes. I've been telling them. And like I said, President Trump has now endorsed this.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Because, you know, he's essentially now the recruiter in chief. Now, when I go to speak and to recruit, I can say truthfully, Donald Trump believes in this. Donald Trump wants you to become a precinct committeeman. That's a lot stronger recruitment message than just little old Dan Schultz, who's just me. So this is the thing that we have to do. This is the first step. And the other thing that they taught us in public school, and I dedicated my book to my family and to my teacher, Sam Elvord, who unfortunately died in a car accident, about 10 years after I graduated from high school. He was a friend as well as a teacher, and he was a great guy. And he swore me into the Selective Service because he was a reserve Army officer. You know, he told us, look, I'm equipping you now for your civic duty as a citizen. That's a concept they don't talk about anymore. Civic duty. We as citizens have a duty to stay up on the issues, the political issues. The Constitution itself, the preamble, starts out with we the people and explains that we the people ordained and established this Constitution for the United States. We're the guardians of it. So we have a civic duty to know what the issues are and to vote intelligently. But it goes beyond that. He told us this. He says, listen, I've taught you how the system works here in Wisconsin. Back then, it was called ward captains, not precinct, but wards. And they were elected. It's not done that way anymore. It's done by a private caucus system now. But back when I was growing up, it was done on the public ballot like it is here in Arizona. He said, I've equipped you now for what you need to do if we ever get into a political crisis. Pick one of the political parties and get involved as a precinct committeeman. But like I said, it was called ward captain back then. I've told you what to do and how to do it. I don't expect you all to become ward captains when you turn 21. Back then, the voting age was 21. But I've told you what you can do if we ever get into a political crisis. So now you're equipped to do it. And see, precinct committeemen, like I said, elect everybody in the party. They're in the best position to get out the vote in the primary elections. Primary elections, usually only about 25% of Republicans turn out to vote. Well, if as a precinct committeeman, if you've got a candidate that you want to help, you can boost turnout in your precinct and the other precincts for that candidate. And if you boost the turnout of those people who don't normally vote, see, the party gives you software. It's called GOP Data Center. It gives you software for your precinct. They'll have all the voters in it, and then you can sort it. It's a database. And say, just give me the voters who in the for this upcoming primary, give me the current voters listed in street order, even and odd, so you can walk down one side of the street and back the other, and hit all the doors of the households that have voters who only vote 50% or less of the time. That's what I do in my precinct in the primary, and then again in the general. I try to boost turnout of the, we call them lower information, lower propensity voters. They're good, decent people, but they hate politics like most Americans. And so I give them a gentle nudge. I drop off a flyer with my name on it, with the candidates, with who I'm going to vote for, and I say, these are the people I'm going to vote for. I suggest you do too. And then I give them on the flyer my phone number, and I call them before I do this. And we've been doing this in my precinct. We divide it up. It only takes 3 hours apiece. We divide up the work. Each one of us gets, well, in the past, it's been 1/11th. Now it's going to be 1/10th of our precinct. We're going to rejigger it a little bit because we lost a precinct committeeman slot. And then we call them, and then we drop off the flyers. That takes each of us about 3 hours, about 1 hour of phone calls to about 35 or 45 households. And then you drop off the flyers, and then we boost turnout. In my precinct, and there's a few other in my legislative district that also do this, we get 90% of Republicans to go vote.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is fantastic.
Whereas in the general election this in 2020, the average statewide was about 70, 71, 72%. So you boost it by 20%, you're gonna win everything. But we didn't do that in every precinct. We only did that in a few precincts. We need to do it in every precinct. Absolutely. And we could, as conservatives, we could do it if we all participated in this way. I want to see a line out the door at every meeting moving forward.
That would be fantastic. Yes. And that would be incredibly necessary. And yes, folks, that is why, if you go back and look at our founders, one of the most important things to them was that the Americans be informed citizens. And as Dan said, they are no longer teaching civics. I know that for a fact. However, I did spend a lot of time this past year reviewing civics standards and civics material. And civics will now be taught starting next year in Florida as a real course. Folks, this is probably the single most important thing that you can do, other than being on top of and making sure that the legislator that you choose is doing what you need them to do. This is a way to get those legislators. So no longer would we be complaining, oh my goodness, all these rhinos are in the party and they're destroying everything that we're intending to do. What's wrong with them? Why do we have rhinos? Vote them out, and this would be the way to do it. Dan, your website is incredible, and I need everybody to go there and participate. I listened to you, Dan, and I joined, and I am now a precinct member in Florida. And this is what we have to do, folks. If we don't want to have a Chris Sprouls and a Wilton Simpson sitting in the top positions in our legislative body, we don't want them dictating to us that we cannot have our children safe from pornographic material. These people need to go, and it's up to us to make that happen. We can, we should, we will. Thank you, Dan, so much. This was such wonderful information. And yes, it is so important that we reach out to the people who do not vote in primaries and get them motivated to vote in this primary, because I truly believe this election will be the absolute most important. And if we don't wipe the floor with the Democrats and their lunacy, shame on us, and it's ours to win or lose, because there's more of us than them. Dan, tell everyone where they can find you and all of your social media and everything, because people need to be in contact with you. And also remember, as Dan said, every state is different. So you have to go to your county in your state and find out the way that this works, because the states are all different. That's the beauty of America. Dan, where can everyone find you?
The best place is at my website, precinctstrategy.com, precinctstrategy.com. I'm still on Twitter. I'm Dan Schultz, and the number 2, Dan Schultz, at Dan Schultz 2 on Twitter. On Getter, I'm just Dan Schultz. I also have groups on Precinct Strategy group that you can chat in on, gab.com. MeWe and CloudHub. And then another thing that you should do is when you get to my site, watch the 1 minute promo video. You click on a button for that. That's right at the top. And then the other button says connect with other conservatives in your state. That takes you to a communications and collaboration platform that my friend Robert Beatles from Nevada has built for us on this platform called pill.net. So you sign up, and then once you're on there, I think we have several hundred Floridians on it already. You can set up a chat room for your county. If there's an issue you want to talk about, you can set up a chat room for that. You can share documents on it. There's a tutorial video that explains all the features of the site. It's constantly being improved. And the nice thing about it is it's not on big tech. It's on Robert Beatles company's servers. It cannot be deplatformed, and it's purely private, and nobody's monitoring you or taking your data. They don't do that. He's doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's got the financial wherewithal to do it with his companies that he owns. And so I recommend you do that as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. And of course, if you still have any questions, Dan is available. He's just a phone call away. You have a website that you can contact him, and he will be happy to explain anything that you need to have explained to you. Folks, we're not at the position anymore where you can sit on the couch and think somebody else is going to let it happen. It's up to us. We're the guardians of liberty. We're the guardians of freedom. And it's time that we acted like it. So thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen. You've been listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, which, by the way, has some incredible shows. Please listen to some of the other shows as well, after, of course, you finish listening to mine. Go to Go FLCA and join the fight in Florida to have our elected officials protect our children. That is utmost. Remember, children are our future. But our-